Cheers. And welcome back to the show. So glad you could spare a few minutes to spend with us today. On the show today, I have the pleasure of Dr. Louis Vandermolen from the Hoag Cancer Center and the Orange Coast Oncology Hematology Medical Association. He specializes in breast cancer and lung cancer. Welcome, Dr. Vandermolen.
Welcome. Thank you.
I always like to start with a working definition. So just to get everyone on the same page, what exactly is lung cancer?
Well, all cancers originate from one cell. One cell becomes cancerous, divides, and forms two. In the case of lung cancer, it's a cell that becomes cancerous that originates in the lung. So it may begin from the bronchial tube in the lung or may begin from one of the glands in the lung, but it's of lung tissue origin.
Okay. Fair enough. And thanks for making that easy to understand. Appreciate that. How common is lung cancer?
There's probably about 180,000 cases a year in the United States alone.
Mm-hmm. Far too many. You know, I was wondering if we've been making progress, though, since so many people have quit smoking.
What's interesting is that we have been making progress, and there is a decline in lung cancer among men. There's actually an increase in the incidence of lung cancer among women.
Really? That really surprises me. What do you attribute this to?
Cigarette smoking. In 20 years ago, women didn't smoke. The incidence of women smokers was much lower than it is today. So it's because women have begun to smoke, and as men have begun to stop smoking, especially some women who smoke for weight reduction reasons.
Wow, I'm blown away by that. Because, I mean, with all the new regulations, you can barely smoke anywhere anymore. I'm so surprised that people are taking it up in great numbers in among our women.
Well, in fact, some of the cigarettes actually have, in their name, there's this subliminal message that it will cause you to get thin. If you think about cigarettes that women smoke, a lot of them have the word thin in them.
Mm. Virginia Slims. There you have it. Wow. Well, what leads me to the next question, thinking about this, are men or women more prone to lung cancer, and what about children as well?
Yeah, I don't think there's any real predisposition. When it comes to children, though, children who grow up around secondhand smoke have an increased incidence or risk for lung cancer.
Well, we always think about this, but, you know, you can get lung cancer without being a smoker. Is that correct?
A small percent of people that develop lung cancer do not smoke. It's a typical type called a bronchial alveolar cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about 5 to 10% of patients with lung cancer will be non-smokers.
Okay. Now, can you give me a rough estimate? Say I've been smoking 2 packs a day for 2 decades. About how long should I expect it to be where my lungs have somewhat repaired themselves?
Probably 20 years.
Wow.
It's a slow process. But yeah, the risk for lung cancer and the risk for other lung-related diseases like emphysema will linger for at least 2 decades, so 20 years.
So people realize that 2 decades of your life, I mean, that's a substantial amount of time to wait. So let's get into the stages of lung cancer, if we will, if you could just run us through them.
Well, early lung cancer is a cancer in the lung that's confined to the lung, is smaller than 3 centimeters in size, and hasn't spread. If it spread to lymph glands on the same side of the chest, that would be stage 2. If it spread to lymph glands on the opposite side of the chest, that would make it stage 3. And then finally, if it spread elsewhere to other areas of the body, like the liver or the bone or the brain, that would make it stage 4.
Are there people who survive stage 4 lung cancer?
There are people that do well, that live for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But the chance of long-term survival or cure is small. It's not zero, but it's probably, you know, on the order less than 5%, maybe 3-4%. People are fortunate enough to survive.
Wow. It is possible then. Okay, I've always wondered that.
It is.
Okay, so what can be done to prevent lung cancer?
Well, first and foremost, don't smoke.
Right.
Try not to expose to secondhand smoke. There are other things that I think we're better at avoiding in the environment, like asbestos.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, general things that help prevent cancer in general, like maintain a normal body weight, exercise, and try to limit animal fat in your diet.
Mm-hmm. What about living under, like, when I was in New York, I lived right under the 59th Street Bridge. And, you know, all the congestion of traffic was bunched up there, and, you know, all those fumes came up. Can that cause lung cancer?
You know, nobody really knows. There's a lot of controversy. There are some studies that suggest that it could increase the incidence of lung cancer, but there are other studies that disagree, so I think the jury's out on that.
Okay, so I'm thinking maybe it's the tar in the cigarettes that causes the cancer. What is it about cigarette smoke that's so different from fumes from, you know, your gas pipe or whatever? What is it in the cigarette that causes the cancer?
It is, yeah. It's the tar, and it's a carcinogen, so it's something that actually causes cells to become cancerous.
And are there cigarettes that are worse for you? Are the ones that have cloves in them? Or, I mean, are there some that you should really avoid at all costs?
I think you should avoid them all at all costs. I don't think there's a safe cigarette.
Okay. So even the lights and ultralights.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I mean, there's not a safe cigarette. There's not a cigarette out there that you can smoke and not be concerned that it's going to lead to heart disease, lung cancer, emphysema, or other cardiovascular diseases.
Okay, so are there any new treatments for patients that come to see you for the disease?
There's a number of new things available, and one thing that's new is that when someone comes in and has a new diagnosis of lung cancer, we can now do a lot of analysis on their tumor that helps determine what the best treatment will be. So mm-hmm. we call it personalized medicine. So we can actually tailor treatment for one person. It's going to be different for the person sitting next to them based on macromolecular analysis of their tumor. So we can look at certain proteins, certain enzymes within the cancer cells that help predict what treatments will be most effective.
That's so incredible. You can look at the enzymes. I mean, did you ever think that would be possible 20 years ago?
Well, you know, it's in infancy, but it certainly was the hope that we would get to this at some point in the future, and certainly we want to take it further. We want to identify exactly what the genetic aberration is that causes the cells to grow abnormally, mm-hmm. and then have a treatment that targets that specific aberration. And if you can target that abnormality, then you can really make the cells grow normally again.
Say you've targeted something. What are some of the things you can do to eradicate it?
Well, right now the things we look at are what's called epidermal growth factor receptor. And that's a receptor that causes cells to grow and also causes increased blood supply to cancer cells. So if we can shut that off, if we can mm-hmm. turn off that factor, then the cells won't proliferate, they won't grow, and they won't have enhanced blood supply and therefore starve and die. So that's one example of a target that we use to treat lung cancer.
And what kind of method would you use to do that, to shut off that supply?
At this point, we've got medications in pill form, tablet form, that are called tyrosine kinase inhibitors, and these are small molecules that are directed for that target.
Wow, just by popping a pill, you can shut off that supply. That's incredible. And you find these are quite effective.
Well, they are effective. They're often used in conjunction with other treatments. But can be effective alone. Again, depends on the analysis of the tumor as to how effective the prediction is going to be that these agents
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some of the other treatments in addition to medications.
Well, in addition to medications, we also have other antibodies now that are given either alone or in conjunction with chemotherapy that are called anti-angiogenesis agents. What that means is they, again, block the blood supply of the cancer. So rather than kill cancer cells, they sort of starve the cancer cells so they can't grow.
Okay.
These are intravenous. These are antibodies. These are not small molecules. These are big molecules that are given intravenously.
Okay. So I'm a patient, and I'm coming to you for that kind of therapy. How often am I getting these injections?
For the intravenous anti-angiogenesis agent, they're usually given about once every 3 weeks, every 21 days.
Okay, so that's not... You pop a pill, you get a shot every 3 weeks, and it keeps your cancer it maintains it and makes it impossible to grow. I mean, I could live with that, right?
That's right, yeah.
It's not... People need to get over the fact that, oh my gosh, I have lung cancer, this is the end of the road, right?
Not at all. There's lots of options.
We thank you so much for your time today. I wish we had so much more time, Dr. Vandermolen.
Okay, thank you.
He's been very gracious with his time, Dr. Louis Vandermolen. And for even more information on Dr. Vandermolen and Hoag Hospital and some great health tips, please visit hoaghealthhospital.org. And you can listen to the podcast of this show anytime you like. Share it with a friend. It's very important. Just download the podcast onto your personal player and listen whenever you like. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Have yourself a wonderful day.